This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about the Rangers and Wyatt Langford in just a second, but some programming reminders. I'm looking at you, Zach. I know you don't need to be reminded because you already know this. Rangers games starting Saturday and Sunday from spring training right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I know what you're thinking. It's too damn far away.
It's too far.
You know what? First of all, language. Second of all, fair.
Fine.
Tonight, the Four Nations Final is right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about it again in about an hour. We talked about it this morning. We talked about it in the cross. We've been talking about it all week long. The final tonight right here on The Fan.
USA, 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 let's go.
Is there any part of you, this could be sound like a treasonous question.
Don't even start.
Is there any part of you that thinks that their national anthem might be better?
What? Is this a serious question?
Yeah.
No.
No party.
Not a single part. In fact, should we,
should we dump all that?
We're booing the national anthem tonight? You think in Boston they're doing it?
I don't think we will, but is it not equally disrespectful? Okay, let's say you fired up a USA, USA chant during O Canada. Is that not just as bad, if not maybe even worse, than just booing the national anthem?
Maybe. I'd rather do that than the booing, though.
Yeah, I'd
rather do that. I will say, if you don't mind, Kevin, just to get everybody fired up, Alec, if we can hit cut number 10, shout out to Team USA. Let's go kick the Canadians' ass.
Come on, Craig. Blow the whistle. Again.
Mike Ruzioni! Went through Massachusetts!
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America!
Let's go!
Hell yeah! You know what? This game's bigger because that was only a semifinal game.
Damn right.
This is for the championship of all four of these nations.
You only play on one leg? I'll play on one leg.
For people who are texting in, no, there's no truth to the rumor that we get Canada as the 51st state if we win tonight. As far as I know. And there's also no truth to the rumor that if we lose, we'll drop all the tariffs. As far as I know. We'll see.
You're lying.
I don't know that, Roman Reigns. We got 7 hours till the game. Things could still happen.
Very developing.
Yeah, but I don't. It's a developing story in that probably nothing is going to happen on that front. But you can listen to it tonight right here on 105.3 The Fan. In the meantime, give me cut number 5, please.
There's a swing by Langford. There's a long drive to left. Back goes Nimmo. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford with his first out-of-the-park home run takes it 6-2, Texas.
Okay, I know why he said that, and Eric Nadell's the best. But it is kind of funny to go back and listen to him say, first out of the park home run. Like, again, I totally understand why with the inside the park home run, but it's kind of funny to hear that. So here's the baseball hypothesis I'm going to put forth. You might not like it. You did not like my last hypothesis about how good of a song O Canada is.
I mean, shout out to them, man. Great anthem, but it's better than the United States. I can't say that.
Okay. I just was.
Now, the Greek anthem, that's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I remember how that goes.
Neither do I.
Oh, okay. I really thought there was a chance we were going to get you to sing. All right. Wyatt Langford.
You never know.
My contention, just for your consideration, is that everybody assumes it's going to be Corey Seager offensively. I get that. Could Wyatt Langford be the Rangers' best player this year? Consider this. He was named the AL Player of the Month in September. Now, I know this is unreasonable to expect, but if you took just that September and you extrapolated it out for the entire year, he would have a season that included 46 home runs, 116 RBIs with a 300 batting average and a 996 OPS. Consider this also, Zach. I don't know why that was adversarial.
Consider this, Kevin.
Okay, that's fair. So Langford said, I wouldn't say I felt pressure last year in training camp or spring training, but I definitely was coming in with the goal of making the team and performing well enough to make the team. That was kind of what I was going after. It's a different feeling versus now getting prepared for the season. Like, all right, this is my season. Could you see a scenario? And that's not to diminish the awesomeness of Corey Seager. That is just to encourage the awesomeness of Wyatt Langford, in which Wyatt Langford becomes your best offensive player.
If everyone is healthy, no, I still think Corey Seager would be.
Just real quick, and I'm sorry to jump in there. What does healthy Corey Seager look like to you? Is that 130 games? 100 and like how many games are we talking?
Question.
There?
I mean, I would probably go with like 140 games.
Okay.
I think that's fair, right?
Okay.
It's like you're averaging maybe 2 10-day IL stints in there.
Okay.
At you know, and I think it's unrealistic to think he's probably going a full season without one. But I mean, I'm trying to see like what's the average kind of games played per year for him. Usually it looks like 150 in 2022 is the most he's played as a Ranger. So even 2023, we know he had that IL stint, played 119. Most he ever played in his career is 157 games. So I think, yeah, if we can get to like 140, 145, I'll consider that a healthy season.
Okay.
But I just think when he's hot, he's arguably the best hitter in baseball.
I'm with you on that.
So assuming you have him healthy, I can't say that I think Wyatt would be a better offensive player. But here's the difference. Wyatt's a better base runner.
Yep.
The speed.
Yep.
So you look at what Bobby Witt Jr. did last year. Like, what was that, 30-30 type of dude?
Yep.
I think Wyatt could be a 30-30 type of dude.
And how quickly has Bobby Witt become one of the, what?
Like 3 years.
Six players in the game-ish?
Top five, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah. So, not surprisingly, MLB.com, every team's projected top player for 2025. Corey Seager is their top projected player. And, like, I don't want to make it sound like that's a fringy opinion. That is, wouldn't you say, probably the majority opinion is that it could be Corey Seager. I look back at Wyatt Langford, and I wanted to go to something that Bruce Bochy said, because he was kind of asked about like avoiding the sophomore slump. And he gave an amazing answer, because Bruce Bochy always gives amazing answers. You just go about your business like you normally do. It's not like I know the stats on the sophomore slump. How many really have had a slump like that, you know? So first of all, he's even questioning the concept of the sophomore slump. He goes, sure, you got a few big names that don't quite have the same year, so a lot of attention gets called on that. But I'm not even sure that he's thinking about that. And then you go directly to Wyatt Langford, where we said last year he was focused on making the team. This year, he's focused on how to be prepared for the regular season. And he said, all right, this is my season. And then you hear teammates, you hear other people across the league saying they feel like this guy is a future MVP. You saw flashes last year of peak Wyatt Langford. And peak Wyatt Langford looks to be every bit as good as we all could have hoped and dreamed. So now my question is, you got peak Wyatt like 20% of the time last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get peak Wyatt 60% of the time this year? And if so, that's going to be a monster season.
It would be. And I am very excited. I do think you're going to get the carryover from September for Wyatt.
Okay.
Now, I mean, Fangraphs has an article that came out last year, like sophomore slumps aren't a thing in Major League Baseball. So I think there is something to that. But there have been a few, like Danny Santana in recent memory, 2014, your rookie of the year for the Minnesota Twins. And then you absolutely stink. And he ended up being a Texas Ranger. But there are, I mean, I think that's the most recent example of the biggest sophomore slump. I think Wyatt is set to, he's just an overall better player than what you had with Danny Santana. I mean, it's not to fire any shots there at Danny. But Wyatt, I think, is set up for success. And I think that he learned a lot when he had to go on the IL early in the season last year. I think that really reset things, calmed him down. I think he's just going to continue to get better and better. So I'm with you on this.
Okay. I have alienated some of our audience. From the 806 breaking, Kevin thinks that Corey Seager stinks and Wyatt will hit 46 bombs. Not.
That's what I heard.
No.
Yep. You're out on Corey Seager.
No.
You said he's not going to play a game this year.
Not. That is. Then we're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays no games this year. You're
calling him hurt guy.
We're screwed. I would love for Wyatt Langford to hit that many home runs. And from the 254, I wish the Canadian Kevin was leaving instead of Mike. I want to make this very clear.
The Canadian Kevin.
I will absolutely be rooting for the United States tonight. I just happen to think that that is a nice song.
You do love poutine.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Lies.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I get it. It looks like I've eaten a lot of poutine.
It sure
but
does.
I don't think I ever have.
Okay, fries with what? Gravy and cheese curds?
Oh, that does sound good.
That's basically what poutine is.
Okay. Because fries by themselves are overrated.
Oh, you got to have cheese on them?
Well,
or like some kind of fancy
cheese,
delicious toppings.
How many french fries out there would you just eat?
All of them.
With no
sauce? You kidding me? Fries are not safe. I go through a drive-thru, and they're gone by the time I get home.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the majority of them, especially Chick-fil-A fries, I will say this having worked there for a decade, you've got to eat them immediately. You have to. Those waffle fries, the holes.
The holes make something happen.
Cools them down.
Okay.
You don't keep the heat in. Very holy.
Because I think
they're holy fries.
Wingstop fries and like Jack in the Box curly fries are some of the few fries that I would just eat without any kind of dip.
But they kind of have seasoning already.
Exactly. So because the fries have to be tricked up.
Like even fries that I don't think are that good, I don't want to call out any places, but I'll still just eat the normal fry. Fries are fries. Delicious. I thought I said that too, 940.
From the 817, we're going 162-0, Kevin. You're not.
I think the season opener is the most important game.
It's not.
It is. If you don't win, it's the Stars. Winning that first game this year was the most important. If they didn't, I don't know if they'd be really in great position like they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel validated.
So
thank you, Wojcik.
Your resurgence, none of that would have happened.
Yeah, the Otter thing wouldn't. I mean, if they drop the opener, you think Otter's not going to struggle the rest of the way? The confidence is shaking.
No, I don't.
Well, I think you should recalibrate that process.
Okay, and I know that people are having some fun with me. At least I hope they are. You're not going to go 162-0. You're not going to go anywhere near 162-0.
Says you.
Says me, that's right. But also,
real big jerk McJerk.
Would you really want to go 162-0?
The pressure in the playoffs?
The pressure would be one of the most insane atmospheres you've ever seen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In any playoff sport. Because they're like, oh, the Patriots went 17-0. That's great. 162-0. You would have like People Magazine and Life and Time. I don't even know if those exist anymore. Would be following this team and being like, this is the most amazing thing we've ever seen in the history of sports. That would be too much pressure.
It would be. And I guess the 972 makes a good comment. The Rangers won the opener last year against the Cubs. So...
From the 561, borderline blasphemous comment from Kevin about our national anthem. I didn't say I didn't like our national anthem. I just said, I think the Canadian.
You might want to check the tape. I think you said it was a bad anthem, Kevin.
Maybe it's better. And by the way,
better.
This is why you got a Tolo 3 minutes ago from the 903. Spurs shutting down Wemby for the season. Yes, yes. We hit that about 25 minutes ago. This is why you got to turn it on, leave it on, be caught up to date with all of the latest news in the world of sports. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We'll do some NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, we got Zach Wolchuk. So, of course, we're going to give you a top 10.
Top 10.
Next right here on The Fan.
Darnold, straight drop off play action to the end zone and touchdown! Jefferson with a 7-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Zach Wolchuk in studio with us today. Well, the word on the street is that Corey will be back tomorrow. Also, people are buzzing. Four Nations Final going to be tonight right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Victor Wembanyama has a blood clot issue in his right shoulder. He will be out or is expected to be out for the rest of the season. So, Wooly Bully, since we got you here, we're going to get to the top 10 in just a little bit. But first, I want to go back to some NFL overreaction or reality. Are you fine gentlemen ready?
We're supposed to answer that?
Yes, you're supposed
to. I guess.
Yeah, I, you know what? Mike warned me to stop asking that question.
Yeah, just don't. I mean, that's like, obviously me. We're ready. Is your mind ready? Is your body and soul ready? That's another question.
Okay.
But I mean, we're ready in a sense to answer whatever the hell you're going to throw at us. Yeah.
NFL overreaction to reality. We'll find out. Sam Darnold is the top NFL free agent in this market.
That's a fart. That is not accurate at all. There's no chance that he's the best free agent on the market right now. I think T. Higgins would be better to me than Sam Darnold. And I know it's a quarterback, right?
Pete Prisco said he's number one, but T. Higgins was number two.
Pete's also a questionable source of information. No, Pete's a good guy, but he's a friend of the show. I know he's a friend of Brian's, but I do love to debate with him on his like top 100 players and then the top free agents. I just wouldn't have Darnold. If he goes to the Rams, let's say they move from Stafford, I could see a Sean McVay doing well. I mean, Kevin O'Connell is from the Sean McVay coaching tree. So I think maybe that's a place where he can succeed. But I think we saw the last two games of the season. Right, everything's on the line. How are you going to do, Sam Darnold? And Aaron Glenn and that Lions defense had a great game plan. They made him look like he was seeing ghosts again. And then in the playoff game, they also really bleeped the bed there as well. So I think what you got this year from Sam Darnold, very similar to me of like a Case Keenum type year in Minnesota.
Okay.
Where it's kind of just a blip on the radar. I don't know. And I could just be a hater right now. Maybe he goes on and has some success. But I can't say that he's the top free agent. Hell, Ronnie Stanley, arguably the best left tackle in football or one of the best as a free agent, he to me would be better than Sam Darnold.
Okay, Alec, I'm going to ask you the same question and I'm going to add some more players. If you don't think Sam Darnold is number one, is it T. Higgins, Ronnie Stanley, Josh Sweat, Trey Smith, Milton Williams? Like how many people go in front of him?
He's not. It's an overreaction. I'd say Darnold comes in around like five or six for me. You could put T. Higgins there. You could put Trey Smith. I think Chris Godwin I would prioritize over a Sam Darnold as well. He's a free agent. Ronnie Stanley, as you mentioned, Woolchuck, one of the best left tackles in the game. I would throw him out there. Outside of that, I'm
Josh Sweat.
I probably just because of the postseason heroics, you could even throw the recency bias in there to say that, but he is a damn good football player. So I'd say there are about five or six other people. I am with Woolchuck where I think it is kind of like a Case Keenum type of year where yes, he will be a serviceable quarterback for whoever signs him, but there are some other guys that I think can be game changers. I think Sam Darnold is still just very good at doing the job he is told to do. These other guys can slide in and they can change the game in multiple ways.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Rams will move on from Matthew Stafford.
Oh, man. I don't see why that makes sense for them unless they've got a bigger plan in place here.
Okay, by the way, fun fact, you talked about like if Sam Darnold ended up with the Rams.
Right.
This is interesting to me. The top betting favorite if Matthew Stafford moves on is to go to the Vikings.
Really?
Which kind of makes my brain hurt.
I guess there's familiarity, as I just mentioned, like with the head coaches. Can they go ahead and say, hey, well, they got J.J. McCarthy. Like if you're the Vikings, I think if you're not bringing back Darnold, even if it's a franchise tag, it's because I'm seeing what I got in my first round pick at quarterback here. I'm not messing with Matthew Stafford. Stafford in Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's a guy, legitimately, now you've got Super Bowl aspirations. Now you've got a quarterback that I do think can compete with the big boys. They've got a really good roster. Defensively, you know they're going to be one of the better defenses in football. Mike Tomlin wins 10 games every year. That's just what he does. He shows up, boom, here's 10 wins for you. So I think that makes sense. I think I'm going to lean reality here. There seems to be a lot of smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. It doesn't make sense to me, but they're moving on from Cup. Maybe they are finally done with Matthew Stafford here. I'm going to lean reality.
Alec?
It's really confusing. Like, it's a really confusing situation because we know the Rams are not afraid to make those big moves.
For sure.
Whether it's incoming players or outgoing players, they're not afraid to make a change, like Woolchuck said, whenever they have a plan. And that is a really well-run organization to where if they do make the move, I'm going to say, look, they probably know what they're doing. I'm going to say overreaction. I feel like they're close enough to where if they do supplement in the draft on offense, they think that they have a chance to go make one more run. I think that's their mindset. What the hell do I know? I have no idea. But that front office is so complicated in the way that they think to where I really have no clue. But since you're making me answer the question, I'm going to say overreaction because I think they do have a chance because the NFC is so wide open that you get one more receiver in the draft. You probably got a shot.
Agreed. Ooh. Speaking of the draft, NFL overreaction or reality, this is a weak quarterback draft.
That is a reality. I like Cam Ward. I didn't think I'd love Cam Ward as much as I have going through this process now and actually studying him. The dude's a winner. He's got that it factor about him. I've said that before, whether it was on G-Bag or during crosstalk. Shador's got tremendous touch. He's got a feel. He's able to create plays on the run, extend plays with his legs. I think he's more of a second-round quarterback. The outlier, and this is where maybe the Rams are thinking, do they like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss? Man. He's kind of the sleeper in this class that I think some teams might like and take a flyer in the first round. I've seen Seattle even linked to him. Like, do they take Dart and then he can sit behind Geno? If things don't go well, then they start him. But I do think overall, this is not even comparable to last year when I loved Jaden Daniels. I thought Drake May could be a really good starter. I was a big fan of Michael Penix Jr. All of them were good. And I didn't even like Bo Nix, but he's turned out to be a good-looking quarterback with Sean Payton. So it's not comparable to last year's draft. It is a weak quarterback class.
It's really weak. And we've been in this weird cycle with some of these draft classes where it's really off then really on every few years. This is one of those years where I'm just not excited about the top of the draft, really, outside of the defensive players. There are some guys that are really fun to watch and some guys that I'm intrigued to see how far they fall, how far they rise, but none of them happen to be the quarterbacks. It's a really weak class for a year that a lot of teams need it to be stronger.
Yeah.
So I am intrigued to see, do we have that Bo Nix type pick where everyone's like, what in the world? Like, middle of the first round, we thought he would be available early, day two, what is happening? I think that might happen in some cases, and we might end up being totally wrong, like I was about Bo Nix. So I think it is just on paper. It's really weak. I'm more excited about the running backs. I'm more excited about some of those wide receivers that are going to be within the top 10. There's a lot more value in other places, but teams are going to reach as they always do. So you'll see a few taken in the first round, and I won't be thrilled about it.
And, you know, part of the reason for this is it looked like going in that Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck were going to be the dudes. Like, they were going to be at the top of the class. Now Carson Beck is transferring to Miami and just got two fancy sports cars stolen.
Yeah, he just had a Lamborghini stolen, and the other one, I can't remember what type of car, but hey, I mean, that's what happens. You now got your big NIL money. I'm driving around in fancy cars. You're joining the list of those who've been robbed that are athletes.
I like the way you said cars.
Gaz.
NFL overreaction or reality? Justin Tucker will not play in the NFL again.
I'm going to go far on that because Watson played in the NFL again. Now, granted, I mean, that's far-fetched. It's probably an eye roll. Dude, you're comparing a quarterback and a kicker. I get it.
Who's like 10 years older,
but
at the time.
I don't think that this is going to mean like Justin Tucker's career is over, which maybe it should, right? I mean, it's more and more people are now coming out and accusing him. It should. Like, to me, he's already looked like he's no longer the same player. If I were him, I would just retire. I think that's probably the best thing for you to do. But I'm going to go that's a fart. I'm not buying that one.
Okay, bonus question to add on to this, Alec. Do you think this will affect people's takes on him in the Hall of Fame? Sorry, that's a lot to throw at you.
So to answer the first part, I'll go reality just because I do think he will retire. Just to avoid the PR nightmare while being an active player, and he can get away from the team. If he's going to do the team a solid, that's going to be it right there. Make this not a team-involved thing where the coach isn't getting asked about it every day, and the GM, whenever he does his media availabilities, isn't getting asked about it. Like, at least help the team out in that respect, and we saw him regressing this year. So it might just be all signs pointing towards, in the worst ways possible, hey, buddy, hang him up. It's done. As Mike would say, it's over.
Yeah,
just move on.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's tough because we were just talking about for weeks, you know, a man that murdered his wife up for, you know, Hall of Fame eligibility.
That's true.
And
he did not get in,
and he didn't get in, but they tried to tell their voters the game of football.
Yeah,
the game of football.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about. But human nature always kicks in, and people, they're going to deny that any of this had to do with their voting or their thinking processes, but it's gonna affect it. I think that's a reality. It absolutely will, and people won't admit it, but that's what happens in these situations. You do things that are unfavorable in the eyes of the public and in the eyes of the law. People are going to have a bias about you, and, you know, it might just turn into, well, the end of his career wasn't as good as we had hoped. You know, it's like, really? Is that really what you're going with?
I totally get your point, because I do feel like that's why people in these situations get picked off, not because of what they did, but because they're not good enough to justify that anymore. Because, like, if he was the best kicker in the league, maybe I'm wrong, but I do wonder if they would be like, hey, let's figure this out.
Yeah, I think that he now, he has no chance to get in the Hall of Fame anymore. I think this absolutely has tarnished his reputation. The voters will hold that against him. They're petty, and they do. I mean, T.O. had to wait how many years to get into the Hall of Fame? Why? Because the media didn't like him. Michael Irvin had to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, if you rub the media the wrong way, especially the Hall of Fame crusty voters who still won't have Darren Woodson in there for whatever reason.
And especially special teams players.
And Adam Vinatieri was just a finalist and didn't get in. What's the big kick that Justin Tucker's made? Like, we know he's been a great kicker, and I mean, it's probably college when he kicked Texas to a win over your Texas A&M Aggies. But in the NFL, like, what's
after
the big playoff
pass interference call?
What's the big playoff game winner that he's made? So if Vinatieri, who is the best big game clutch kicker, still isn't in the Hall, I don't think Justin Tucker's ever getting into the Hall of Fame.
Fascinating, because otherwise, he has a resume that obviously very much justifies being in the Hall of Fame. NFL overreaction or reality? Myles Garrett will get traded. Now, I will tell you, at one point, this version of the question was Myles Garrett will get traded to the Commanders. That feels like too narrow, perhaps, of a window. And especially since Cleveland's like, hey, we're not going to trade him and all of that. But overreaction or reality, Myles Garrett will, in fact, get traded this offseason.
That's reality. I think that Myles Garrett will move. I think that he needs to continue this push because he deserves it. He's too good of a player to be wasting away in Cleveland. I do understand they've made the playoffs twice within the last, 4 years? And yep. I think Kevin Stefanski is an underrated coach. It takes a special type of coach to be able to even have this type of success that he's had in Cleveland. But Myles Garrett needs to get the hell out of there. So whether that's Dallas, whether that's Washington, whether that's New England, and I mean, that's a team that I do think we don't view it as like they're up and coming, but the rest of the league does. The rest of the league loves Drake May, and there are a lot of players that seem to want to attach themselves to Drake May and think that with the Vrabel hiring, the Patriots are going to be back much quicker than we probably think they will be. So I'm all for Myles Garrett. Continue the push, man. Player empowerment. Get yourself out of Cleveland.
Now, Alec, hold on 1 second, because I gave you a bonus question. Zach, now you get a bonus question. Do you think there's any chance the Cowboys would actually make that move?
I think there's a chance, but I don't think it's a high chance.
What percentage? 2%?
I'd put it at 5%.
Hell yeah. That's about how likely the asteroid is to hit us.
Because I think they'd love to add a Myles Garrett. It's just ultimately, like, if it's just for a first rounder, if it's just for 12 this year, there's no player that's having the impact that Myles Garrett's having. So sign me up. I'll give you the 12th pick for Myles Garrett. But if you want 2 ones, we're not doing that.
All right, Alec, Myles Garrett gets traded this offseason.
I got to give you flowers for the analogy you just made. It's almost more likely that an asteroid would hit the city of Dallas before Myles Garrett gets traded here. That's a banger tweet right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say reality because a lot of people try to default to, well, the team has the leverage. He's under contract and blah, blah, blah. Not really. Not in this day and age with social media and everything. Heck, you saw it with Zach Martin when he held out here with the Cowboys. What did he do? He went on social media.
Yeah.
Do you think of Zach Martin as a social media guy? The first thing he does is go flex that he's in the 99 overall club in Madden the day that he starts holding out. Like, there are so many different avenues for players to get what they want nowadays, and I think Myles Garrett is entitled to that because of the body of work that he's put together and everything. So I think that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when in the offseason, and it's a matter of who. And I think that they should try to get it done before the draft because of the Deshaun Watson situation. Do they want to go quarterback? Well, get some assets. You can make that happen a lot easier with some extra picks.
And just, we got the text from the 817. I would say y'all are high if you think the Cowboys are going to make that change. Look, I also don't think it's going to happen, but we threw out the salary cap implications of how they could make it happen immediately if they saw fit. Now, the draft compensation, that's a different deal. Mm-hmm. NFL overreaction or reality, you would rather have Russell Wilson as your starting quarterback next year than Aaron Rodgers. Now, this can be for any team. This is not a Cowboys question. This is just a general football question. I know it makes you sad, but you have to pick.
I'm going to say
Mr. Unlimited.
You got, Alec, go first. And you got a hot take on, you want Russ over A-Rod?
Russell Wilson is at the very least less problematic. Like, you know he's going to show up to OTAs. You know he's going to be there for practice every day. The injury history is not as extensive, or at least as recent, as Aaron Rodgers at the very minimum. Like, if you want less baggage and less of a headache, go with Russell Wilson. If you're going for upside, I guess Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, I'd take Russell Wilson. Like, if I am forced to be in that situation, then fire me. Like, if my quarterback situation is that bad where it says you have two options, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, I screwed up something bigger, so I need to get out of that job. So go ahead and fire me. But if I'm having to pick, I'd pick Russell Wilson.
I'm going to go fart over reaction on this, Aggie. And the reason is I would look at the Steelers as a little bit better with Rodgers versus Russell Wilson.
Okay.
So I hear exactly what you're saying, Alec. I think both are really a pain in the butt to deal with. So I'll lean Rodgers, another year removed from the injury. I think both are done. I don't think either are really going to do anything in the rest of their career that swings the needle either way. But I'll take a gamble with Rodgers over a guy in Russell Wilson, who I think a lot of people on that coaching staff in Pittsburgh would have liked to have benched in favor of Justin Fields down the stretch.
Bonus question that will tip which one of you I agree with. Aaron Rodgers should just retire.
Well, that's reality.
Sorry, Zach. I'm going Team Alec on that one.
That's fine.
You think he should just retire? He should just retire.
I'd like both to retire.
Yeah, they really, that is the point. Fair. They're both of them should. They're both done.
Yeah,
they're both cooked. Like, they wanted to let Russ cook, but now he is cooked. I don't see anything. I don't see value in either of them unless, like, we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going to help anybody. He's not going to coach anybody. He's not going to mentor anybody. I feel like at the least, Russell Wilson would say, hey, I'll teach you everything I've learned. I'll teach you how to read coverages and stuff, and I'll teach you about cadences and all that fun stuff. So if you want to have him around to teach a young guy, sure. But other than that, you're not playing any meaningful football anymore if you're either of them. So go ahead and retire.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Excellent edition of Truth or Overreaction. I'm just kidding. But obviously, yes.
I do love that I triggered the 214. It's not Thort. It's Truth or Overreaction. Come on.
And even that, it's overreaction or reality.
Thank you.
I think he farts a lot.
I think they were just having some fun with you.
I think it's reality.
Now, it's time for Zach Wolchuk Presents the Top 10. Are you ready?
I am so ready. Are you boys ready? Bully, bully. All right, it is National Leadership Day, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
I've got the top 10 leaders in movie and TV history. Who are your favorite leaders that were inspiring in movies and in television? This can be they played a real person. It could be a fictional person. 877-881-1053. And as we gear up for the United States of America to kick the 51st state right in the rear and beat Canada to win the Four Nations tonight, let's give it away to one of my favorite leaders in movie history, who's also a real person, but the great Herb Brooks.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them, and we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight.
their time is done.
It's over.
It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have.
Do you think they were late to the game?
Screw them. Because of how long this Screw them. Is your time.
I'll go out there and take it.
I'll go out there and take it.
Let's go, boys. Screw you, Canada. This is our time. Our time. Go out there and take it. 214, kind of a weak speech. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
And I love you, 214. You text in a lot. But that's a crap take. That's a weak speech. All right, the Miracle on Ice. We go ahead. 2025 edition of 1980. Let's make it happen. Little Giants, one time. I'm with you, 254. That's a hell of a speech right there. Eric Taylor's getting texted a lot. That's their favorite leader. That, we got some goosebumps from the 469.
That is one of my three right there.
Okay, Eric Taylor.
Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. I will tell you what I really liked about that Kurt Russell speech is, I'm sorry, Herb Brooks speech, is it felt realistic.
Played by Kurt Russell.
Because he didn't say, hey, we're always going to win this game. He goes, hey, we could play 10 times and lose 9 of them. But this is the one that we're going to win. And I'm like, you know what? I like that. That's a realistic take from you. I'm ready to go, coach. But Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights, for damn sure, can I give you two more that I think need to be on this list? President Jed Bartlett from The West Wing, played by Martin Sheen.
Ooh, very nice.
Amazing, amazing leader. I know Corey surely has watched two seasons of West Wing while he's been out thus far this week. But the number one, he didn't just save our country. He saved our world. That was President Thomas Whitmore from Independence Day.
Yes, and that is a phenomenal speech.
It really is.
Phenomenal. That one will probably get you going a little bit more than her.
I mean, and like it appeals to everyone.
It does.
He's like, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday. And I'm just like, okay, great. Then if you watch the sequel, they're like the aliens.
Oh, the sequel was so bad.
This giant orb.
Wasn't it Liam Hemsworth?
Helped us save it, yeah.
God, it was god-awful. It's really, really rough.
And Will Smith's like, I don't need to do that anymore.
We got a lot of Any Given Sunday. Coach D'Amato, he was that you got to claw with your fingernails for that inch.
How long has it been since you watched that movie?
Honestly, I think it's been like 5 years. I did watch it semi-recently.
Okay, I need to watch it again because I like remember enjoying it but thinking it was so ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
And then that guy's eyeball popped out and...
Wasn't it Lawrence Taylor's?
Was it?
It might have been Lawrence Taylor's eyeball.
And then they play a Moby song at the very end to score that touchdown.
It's a heck of a movie. I loved it. Coach Yost, Remember the Titans. You make them remember the night they played the Titans. Coach Boone as well. Denzel Washington. That cemetery speech is fantastic in Remember the Titans. That's certainly one that I got a lot. I got a lot of Ted Lasso on the Twitters.
Okay.
Not so much of an inspirational leader, believe.
Just hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. I know people are going to get mad. Let's take a look at the list here. Jeb Bartlett, what did he win? The presidency twice. Thomas Whitmore, what did he win? He saved the world. Coach Taylor, what did he win? Two state championships. I saw Gordon Bombay on there. What did he win? State championship and a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
What did Ted Lasso win? Nothing, because he finished in second place. So if you think this is all won by inspirational victories and whatnot, that's great. I'm going with people who tangibly won a championship or saved the world.
I just had one of my high school buddies, Matt Motter, texted in the Swamp Man from Waterboy.
Yeah,
Bobby Boucher and the Mud Dogs.
Is he more inspirational than Rob Schneider in that movie?
You can do it!
You can do it!
Yeah. I love that. That's great. A lot of Remember the Titans love is pouring in, though, on the text line. We've got some Tony Soprano.
Hey, this worked for somebody from the 469. I'm ready to go knock down all the maple syrup at Target.
Let's go.
Now, that could be problematic for you.
This is your time.
I don't necessarily know. Yeah, the only thing that threw me off in that speech is when he said, this is your time. I started thinking about the Goonies. when they're
it's our
down,
time
there,
down here.
It's like, it's our time down here.
Yeah.
Down here, it's our time, which is clearly repetitive. But I kind of thought about that during the speech a little bit. Just a little bit.
No, I did too. It popped into my brain as well, especially since we got the Goonies 2 sequel 40 years later finally going to happen.
Is that a good idea?
I don't know.
Too much time. I think the same thing about Happy Gilmore.
Well, here's why I have hope. It's because the airplane movie, Tom Cruise. Why am I blanking on in this? Don't do this to me. You know exactly what movie I'm talking about. Just crushed it. Had an amazing sequel. Was very, very good.
You can do this.
No.
You're the top.
I can't. I can't do this right now. I'm freaking out.
What if you had a gun to your head?
Top Gun. Okay. Top Gun. Thank God. That's all I needed. Top Gun. Yeah. The sequel to Top Gun, I also was nervous. Like, do we need a sequel to Top Gun? And it's been so long in between, but they crushed it.
See, but Tom Cruise, I don't know if you ever heard that speech from the set where he was like, the whole movie industry is depending on this, so put your damn mask on. Like, he was so invested in that. I don't know if the Happy Gilmore sequel and the Goonies sequel will be like, hey,
this
doesn't work out. We're closing all the movie theaters.
This is live or die. Yeah. You don't think Sean Astin's going to be like, hey, guys, come on.
Yeah.
I'll never star in another movie like this. Lord of the Rings was 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Please.
Lou Brown from Major League. A lot of votes for William Wallace.
Oh, I am William Wallace.
Braveheart.
You bled with Wallace. Now bleed with me. Jon Snow getting texted in.
Okay. Once again.
What battle did Jon Snow win?
I mean, he did win Battle of the Bastards.
He sure did.
That's a fact.
Now, he got bailed out a little bit, but he was ready to give up his life.
And maybe he should have, because...
What? He did once.
I know, he did. And then they brought him back from the dead so he could have sex with his aunt and go right back to the place that he spent most of the show. So they brought that guy back from the dead, not to get the throne.
Hard to argue that.
But...
Well, he should have gotten the throne.
That's not what I'm saying.
They screwed it up.
That's what I'm saying. And instead, they're like, all right, you're back in charge of the wall that we got to, I don't know, like rebuild.
And in the moment, he didn't know that that was his aunt, and she's a babe.
Yeah, but when you say it like that, you say, and she's a babe, it makes me wonder about your judgment in that moment.
If you know, it's obviously, no, this is gross. If you don't know in the moment, he's thinking like, this is just a beautiful woman who's also the queen. Let's get down.
What if that happened?
And dirty.
Okay, what if that happened? And then you found out she was your aunt.
Well, then I'd throw up.
But you've already done it, so...
Well, you can't undo it. And the Targaryens were kind of into that, the incest stuff. Have you watched House of Dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like that second season where nothing happened?
It really ticked me off. There were some really good episodes, but ultimately the finale was horrible.
It really was.
It was so bad, because the episode before was so badass. I'm like, this is going to lead into an epic finale, and it wasn't. It wasn't good at all. Coach Ballsack getting texted in.
Oh, yeah. It hurts his throat too much to do that. I don't think he's going to do it anymore.
Is he going to go full Dustin May, and now he's going to have like an esophagus surgery because he's too much ball sack?
Oh, man.
No comprende.
I don't like the way you said that at all. All right. Is there a specific top 10 list you want to go through, or do you just like the feedback from the people?
No, I've got the list. Okay. By the way, I do have to know, Alec, you sent this to me, but the Mavs today announced that Anthony Davis, who has that left adductor strain, is making good progress. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with further updates to follow.
Hey, that's great. The last time we got told somebody was going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks was Daniel Gafford. And then they said, never mind, it's going to be 6 more weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know how much trust I have in the information we're getting right now.
Why'd you remind me?
Stop it.
Sorry.
Okay, here is the top 10 leaders in movies and TV. King George and the King's Speech. Played by Colin Firth.
I guess you don't, because you played the Kurt Russell bit. Do you take any points off for it was a real person? And you're like, you just did what that other person did.
No, because he still was, he won an Oscar and he had to stutter his way through the entire movie.
That's
which
true.
Is extremely difficult to do.
And I knew it was a good movie because I was nervous about what was going to happen.
So good.
And
Jeffrey Rush was also brilliant in that movie.
It's the same thing like I watched Apollo 13. I was like, oh man, I hope they make it. And like... They do.
Right.
It's going to be okay, but you know that's a good movie.
Never watched The Crown, but Queen Elizabeth II is listed on here. We've got Catherine Goebel in Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah.
Hidden Figures is awesome.
She's excellent. She helped us get to the moon.
Badass. An underrated
movie.
She
had to overcome racism and sexism. What have you ever had to overcome, Alec?
Back pain.
Okay.
Back pain's a good one. How about Ragnar Lothbrok from Vikings?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, you should.
The TV show? Yeah, I've definitely never seen that.
Ragnar's a badass. It's incredible. 254. Don't let Kevin fool you. He advocates for sex with first cousins. And I do know that about you. You like to get weird.
I don't know how that message has gotten misconstrued. I want to make this very clear. Don't have sex with your cousin.
It's probably because your cousin said that she had sex with you. Or he did.
No. No, no, no.
William Wallace?
No! No to you!
William Wallace, Braveheart.
What number is that on the list?
That is number 4.
Ooh, low.
Robert Kearns, Flash of Genius, 2008. Did not see this. I was hoping you did.
Oh my God, what is it called?
In a famous scene, Robert Kearns asked Gregory Lawson, whatever happened to this little thing called justice we talked about? Lawson replies, this is justice, Bob. This is how justice is dispensed in this country, with checkbooks.
And that was played by Greg Kinnear?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass on that. Right. I can't envision a scenario. It's probably unfair.
It's Greg Kinnear, isn't it?
Where Greg Kinnear is more inspiring than William Wallace was.
No,
I realize
me either.
The problems that come along with Mel Gibson. I'm just saying.
Sure, 100%. We've got Principal Joe Cleary in Lean on Me, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, that's a great one.
Incredible. How about Oscar Schindler, Schindler's List?
I mean, that is tough to argue against.
Yeah, he ended up doing really good things, saved lives. And the breakdown at the end, like, just one more. Could we have helped one more? Christopher Gardner, The Pursuit of Happiness. What? Okay. Are you going to have something mean to say about Pursuit of Happiness? I loved that movie.
I need to make sure.
Will Smith?
Yeah, that movie's stupid.
Stupid?
Yeah, it's stupid.
He's trying to do the most he can for him and his son who are homeless.
Ah! Let's talk about that.
Let's do it.
That's why that movie is stupid.
Is there sleeping in trains?
So, Will Smith stars in a movie where he's trying... I know we gotta go.
No, you're good, you're good. I do this all the time.
Where he's trying to do everything he can for him and his son. But when casting the movie, does he go cast a little boy actor that whose entire life and his family's life and their generations of family's life could be changed? No. He casts his son, who is always going to be fine because his dad was a Chris Rock punching millionaire.
Okay, overreaction to reality. That was the best role his son's ever had.
I don't know how much stuff I've seen.
Karate Kid?
I never saw that. I didn't see...
Not good.
Was it After Earth or something like that?
Not good.
Yeah. I'm saying, he could have changed somebody's life.
But he was so good in that.
In a movie where he talked about changing people's lives, like, I'm a pass.
If his son stunk, then I'm with you. But his son was really good in that movie. Yeah. Coach Ken Carter from Coach Carter comes in at number 1 on the list. Most, the top leader in movies or TVs on National Leadership Day. And shout out to Optimus Prime. He did get a vote as well.
I didn't even think about Optimus Prime.
So did Captain America.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10. Now we'll win tickets because college baseball is back at Globe Life Field. You get an opportunity to get a 4-pack of tickets to the entire final weekend of games at Globe Life Field. Friday the 28th through Sunday, March the 2nd, caller number 10, right now, 877-881-1053. And coming up next, let's talk some NFL draft with DallasCowboys.com writer, Emmy winner, host, it's Kyle Yeomans, next on The Fan.